hours from 99% Invisible, and you're listening to BFF.FM.
I put a spell on you.
Listening to TV on the radio here on BFF.FM. I'm Jessica, and I'm here with Leah. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Okay. I'd like to kick off the show with just a quick prayer for Luke Perry.
Prayers up, TVOTR audience.
Yeah,
prayers up.
Everyone join hands and form a prayer circle with us for Luke Perry, who suffered a stroke this week. And that's all we know.
Yeah, there has been scant information, which is troubling.
Yeah, it's worrisome. But we're thinking about you, Luke Perry. We love you.
I heard he's in a medically induced coma.
Yeah, I heard he's under sedation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I don't know either, but... We're all thinking of you, as is everyone on Instagram.
Yeah.
All those tweens in your show took to Instagram immediately.
Yeah, that's... God. I mean, we're going to talk about the media today.
Yes.
But yeah, just the way, you know, you want to know something and it's like, if it's a big story but there's no information, of course, every outlet has to keep a new headline up. So like the latest news is Luke Perry's co-stars offer support on Instagram, and... That's not news.
Yeah.
Just in case there's any question. But speaking of media sensations, today we are going to talk about Lorena.
Yes.
Lorena, the four-part docuseries on Amazon, looking back at the John and Lorena Bobbitt Escándalo that was among the earlier stories that it came out, you know, the whole thing happened in the early days of headline TV, like mm-hmm. CNN, and maybe Court TV existed, but there were all these channels that were just hungry for salacious content, and John and Lorena Bobbitt gave it to us in spades.
Yes.
Leah, I want to start with what your thoughts were before going into this documentary and ask if any of them changed after watching it.
Yeah, I mean, I really hadn't thought that much about the John and Lorena Bobbitt case in recent years. It wasn't at the forefront of my memory. But I don't know. I think it was just mainly a jokey, ridiculous kind of thing in mm-hmm. my mind. Like, oh, she cut off his penis. Ha ha. And
hilarious.
Yeah. And I was very, very jarred by the first episode of this documentary, which essentially had that same take. They were like, this was funny, you guys. Like,
yeah.
And yeah, so I don't know. I didn't have any real moral judgments on any of it. Mm-hmm. I remembered him going into porn afterwards, mm-hmm. I think, more than I remember anything else about it. And he seems like a real piece of trash.
He is. He's a monster. But yeah. We'll talk more about that, too. But I mean, I guess just sort of thinking a little bit about it before watching it,
mm-hmm.
I did try, you know, we're in a golden age of relitigating the 90s, if you will, with the two O.J. Simpson series. There was a episode of Slow Burn about Monica Lewinsky mm-hmm. that was a really interesting, like a critical look at how the media covered that and how she really got the...
As a 24-year-old woman or 26-year-old woman who,
What else? There are a couple other things that are escaping my brain right now, but we've talked about almost all of them, I think. I thought, like, you know, this turned into a jokey, like, tabloid.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many tabloid puns.
Ugh.
But if you really think about it, going into it, I was like, there's nothing you could do to convince me that there's any excuse to commit literal mayhem against another person. Like, mm-hmm. it's not funny. I understand that she was a abuse victim, but cutting off, like, the extreme violence of that mm-hmm. is just inexcusable. And if you have the capacity to slice off part of someone's body, like, maybe you could use that energy. And I know this is what was used, excuse me, against her at the time. Like, why don't you just use that to leave instead of
mm-hmm.
anyway. And the show did an amazing job of kind of laying out, like, all those things that were said to try to convict her both in of malicious harming in mm-hmm. the court of law and in the court of public opinion. They really did a good job of establishing, like, how trapped she was in the marriage,
mm-hmm.
how severe the abuse was,
like,
and how that kind of abuse for an extended, like, it was the entirety of their marriage, could lead to a psychotic break mm-hmm. like that. And I was like, oh. And then it also, like, thinking about it, became this sort of poetic thing. Like, the people who ended up coming out to support her were, you know, mostly women who mm-hmm. had suffered abuse and not been taken seriously. And it was like this collective breaking point for everyone who had endured what Lorena had endured.
Well, it's also really interesting, and you brought this up in your outline, and it's one of the things that really struck me, is that if John Wayne Bobbitt had killed Lorena mm-hmm. Bobbitt, nobody would know either of their names.
Yeah.
And so why is that more malicious than any of the domestic violence mm-hmm. that happens every single day in this country, with women being killed at, like, alarming rates by domestic partners, overwhelmingly? Like, yes, it happens the other way too, but it's really fascinating that it takes a literal, like, embodiment of a man's sexual organ mm-hmm. for this to, like, gain any traction when women are being subjected to egregious violence every mm-hmm. single day. Like, I don't understand why this was something that had to even be categorized as like a mental break. Are any of those men tried as like having a mental break for slamming somebody repeatedly against a refrigerator and like bashing in their head? Like, because it's a sex organ, it's more important.
I mean, I think that speaks to how normalized violence against women is in our culture. Like, it's just a part of life. They talked in the documentary about how many times, like how all the neighbors knew that she was being battered. Like, the police had been at their apartment multiple times. And at the time, this was before the Violence Against Women Act. It was like, that was police protocol, was to go and like, just try to get everyone to calm down.
You should take a walk and calm down.
Like, it wasn't.
We don't have enough evidence to prosecute anything. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this, I mean, it is really shocking to me that I didn't have any like presupposition where I was like, oh, there's literally nothing that could justify this, because men justify this kind of aggression against women every day.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I mean, he really the other thing that was striking is just that John Wayne Bobbitt is the absolutely like most mediocre, most terrible, like shitty man type. Like, he's just weak. He's just one of those men. Like, yes, maybe he had a rough childhood, it sounds like, didn't get the best shake at everything, but still grew up in a world that led him to believe that he is better than any of the women that he abused throughout his sad Barca Lounger life. And it's just, it's so just jarring how he was even so dumb that he couldn't even make himself look like a victim after he had his penis chopped off. Like, he had this unfounded sense of like righteousness, and to this day he's like, I never abused anyone, despite court evidence to the contrary, despite all this evidence of people like throughout his life who have said that he has abused them. And just the like the brutal shock of that, that he lives in a world that still enables his perception of himself to be intact, is traumatizing.
Well, he spent every moment after the incident, like, you could just see how he was at, not, I guess maybe not a crossroads, but there was this moment where like the national conversation was finally about domestic abuse. And instead of of course instead of acknowledging that he was cruel to her and abusive and violent, you know, he was now this famous figure. So he gravitated toward everyone who told him, like, you're okay. Or, you know, Howard Stern indulged him time after time. We saw him go on some talk show where Martin Starr's doppelganger introduced him by saying, like, so your wife's a kind crazy of crazy bitch, huh? And so, like, he had all these opportunities to just be surrounded by people who are telling him, you know, you're fine, like, you're our bro now. And he got all these jobs based on his fame. And he just is not an emotionally complex enough person to gravitate towards self-reflection instead of just people telling him he's fine. And I mean, that's the case for most men.
Like,
why would you you can just rely on your mediocre whiteness for your entire life.
Yeah, but I feel like if what was alleged to be like the most traumatic act that has ever been committed against a man in the history of the world, like, I feel like, I don't know, maybe think about why, you know, I just, I understand that, there's a whole round of people who are like, it's unconscionable no matter what you did that she would do this to you. And then he just, went with that instead of having to like take a hard look at anything. But also just the sheer like, this man has contributed nothing. Yes, he was a Marine for a minute, but he has contributed absolutely nothing to this country. And to hear him talk about...
I mean, he made a couple pornographic films.
Well, yeah. So, yes, the cultural and, you know, the cultural impact can't be understated, I guess. But he, to hear him talk about, like, immigrants... And to hear him talk about Latinas and, like, just his whole MAGA bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I say that knowing that he is a Donald Trump supporter. He has a D. Trump license plate on his car, which is probably on the verge of being repoed because I don't know. You know that he's going to, like, RAC to rent his Barca loungers. Mm-hmm. He lives in a grimy little apartment in Henderson City, Nevada, or somewhere, and that's about all he deserves. But again, like, the narrative at the time was that she's this, like, fiery Latina who was jealous mm-hmm. that he was going to leave her and, like, was so devastated that she had to make sure nobody else could ever have him. And then and Lorena Bobbitt has gone on to remarry, to mm-hmm. be an advocate, to, like, make meaningful contributions in people's lives. And amazingly enough, has never had another flare-up of being, like, a crazy Latina bitch, you know? And it's just, yeah, it's just really galling. The whole thing is ugh.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if you were writing this story, you couldn't come up with a more cartoonish villain than John Wayne Bobbitt. First of all, his name John Wayne Bobbitt, which maybe I'm anyway. Yeah, the fucking the last scene. I just want to skip ahead. The last scene where they're cutting back and forth. This was a huge shock to me.
Yeah, me too.
The letters he has been writing Lorena letters this whole time, letters and emails, trying to convince, like, at least recently, trying to convince her to get back together with him, mm-hmm. partly. Or wholly because, like, wouldn't, you know, all he knows how to do is be a media grifter mm-hmm. and no one cares about him anymore. And mm-hmm. he, like, literally said, like, we would be a sensation and, like, he just wants to capitalize off being in the tabloids again, mm-hmm. which is so mind-bendingly pathetic.
Yeah. He said, I think it was in the second episode where he's like, it was a great time, like, going out to clubs and mm-hmm. everybody would be yelling my name and, like, just, like, reliving the worst glory days anyone's ever had. Like, it's just so sad. Yeah. Like,
and just the idea that you would get to this place where your entire ego depends on people worshiping you for having your dick cut off. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. You just can't write shit like that. But they also, she's talking about these letters that he's been sending her the whole time. And they're cutting back and forth between her reading some of his letters and mm-hmm. him firing a gun at a target, mm-hmm. which, cool that a guy who's been convicted of domestic violence multiple times is allowed to own firearms. And then, getting on his motorcycle that we see has a Trump license plate mm-hmm. and riding off into the Las Vegas Strip.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, what else do you say?
Yeah, it's like a parody.
We did it, America.
It's like a parody. It's, yeah. It's, it's harrowing. It's not harrowing. It's just so, he is so not worth any of the time and energy mm-hmm. and everything that has been invested. Like, he should have been a footnote to this story all along. And the fact that he was lionized at the time for this, you know,
it just really predicted this moment we're in of, like, men being called out for their shittiness and mm-hmm. then acting like victims mm-hmm. because of it. Like,
yeah.
In retrospect, was this, like, was him getting his dick cut off a necessary moment to launch domestic violence into the national conversation? Like, would we be where we are in the conversation if not in reality?
No, I mean, we had decades and decades of women being beaten and dying every day and mm-hmm. absolutely nothing being done about it. I mean, truly, if he had killed Lorena Bobbitt, nobody would know either of their names. Like, that would not be a story. And Yeah, there was a nice little interstitial where Joe Biden was trying to get the Violence Against Women Act passed early. He was an early champion for that with Orrin fucking Hatch of all people. But then Newt Gingrich
came and shut it down.
Took over Congress and was like, no money for that. Sorry. This is after John Wayne Bobbitt. So, I mean, just the very fact that, yeah, it absolutely took a man being mutilated before anyone was like, ooh, this domestic violence could really be a problem, guys. Like, women are turning on men now. This is like, we really need to address this.
Yeah.
And that's so disgusting. It's just... Yeah, I do. I 100% believe
that. Yeah, that was something was I didn't remember from the time was how, like, the immediate rallying around her there was from women who had, you know, suffered abuse or, you know, like, all women, like, suffer from the threat of abuse at almost all times. And Whoopi Goldberg had it in her stand-up.
Yeah.
She made kind of the succinct point that, like, this was the moment when men realize like what women go through every moment of every day, like the threat of violence could happen to you too. So that was interesting. Do you think the media has learned anything in the intervening years since this story? This was covered in the media either with glibness, like the number of punning headlines. Too many, I'd say.
Yeah.
And like the domestic violence angle was not covered. It was all about what she had done to him.
Yeah. And one of the lady who, like, I don't know, I can't remember what her title is. She runs like some big domestic
violence. Was it that lady with the football shaped hair?
Yes.
I loved her.
Yeah. But she has been like a longtime advocate. And she said, you know, I think none of these stories truly were effectively done about domestic violence because the men were editors.
Yeah.
And I absolutely think that is true. I think that is still true. Like, the gatekeepers, the people who make all the media are fucking, like, Roger goddamn Stone. Like, if Roger Stone has a say on how anything's going to be published, it's not going to be from, like, a serious pro, like, look at, you know, statistics, blah, blah, blah. Like, it is going to be, like, psychotic, you know, like, these fucking terrible puns. Of course,
because all men think about is their dicks.
Yeah.
So, the
gatekeepers weren't, there was nobody in place to make this a more serious conversation.
Yeah.
And I think that, to your point, like, would this be handled differently today? Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, like, I don't think you'd so get either. Like a Jezebel or a HuffPo or maybe a BuzzFeed article about it that maybe had some good points to make, but it would absolutely get lost in the barrage of everything else. And the really shitty thing about if this story happened today is it would all be like argued on Twitter. It would all be in like 200 characters, not even a newspaper article. Like, I can't, I mean, the focus on this story was insane, and I can only believe that they both have to be like, thank God it wasn't happening when everybody had a platform to give their opinion about it. Like, it would just be Yeah, I just think, no, there's no way. I mean, the media has gotten worse. It's decimated. And, you know, there's a out-and-out war on the media right now. There's no way. It's, I don't know. This was not real uplifting, guys, is my point.
No, it was a bummer. Anyway, I don't know. My thoughts are now scattered going forward. But some of my other takeaways from the documentary... we talked a little bit about the glibness with which people were recalling
very jarring.
The night of the event. Yeah. And I don't know if it's just because, like, it was so insane, you just sort of don't know how to talk about it.
Yeah.
But still, like, the contrast between the violence of that act and then, like, the emergency responders who were searching for his dick in a field, these surgeons who were, like, waiting in the hospital for them to find the organ to reattach it, they were all just sort of like not giggly is the wrong
word. No, they were. Like... They were absolutely giggly. I mean, all these esteemed men reverted to stupid little boys who were like, there was one emergency room nurse who was just like very matter of fact about it, you know, and not didn't have that same super glib tone. And yeah, it's because every single one of those men, that became their sole focus. There was essentially a SWAT team fucking like immediately sent to like this field outside a goddamn 7-Eleven to look for his like severed penis, which, by the way, masterful severance.
That's the most mind-bending part.
How are your knives that sharp?
I know. They were not like the most, you know, socioeconomic high level people, but that knife must have been freshly sharpened.
Yeah. Yeah. How are your knives that sharp? And how was that such a clean cut? You do get to see the severed penis twice, if that's something you're interested in. It didn't add too much for me, but I think to your point, it probably was, you know, yeah, you have all these people very giddily discussing this insane thing that happened to them. And then to see the actual mutilated penis is jarring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was also shocked by how many like fame whores like immediately bubbled to the surface. Uh-huh. Like the doctors who performed the surgery were like immediately on television.
Oh, yeah.
Afterwards. Like, John Wayne Bobbitt's entire trash family was doing the talk show circuit. Trash. Just the fucking worst. Lorena's boss, Jana, her boss, the owner of the nail salon where she worked. Like, yeah, that woman immediately became her, I don't even know what, hanger on. The show didn't have dramatizations really, but they had these little interstitial, like, kind of, not actors like doing speaking roles or reenacting anything, but just like to illustrate. Like, they talked about Lorena learning English by watching daytime soaps, which relatable. And they just showed an actress from behind watching daytime soaps, and they kind of filled it out with these little dramatizations. And when they introduced Jana Basudi, they had this close up on a hand, like swiping this bright blue eyeshadow and then putting it on. And it was very, very subtle burn at Jana Basudi.
Yeah.
But very funny.
Lorena immediately got a Hollywood agent who seemed like also pretty trash, but he did a good job at like keeping Geraldo out of the picture, which I appreciate. And he also left Barbara Walters on hold for an hour and a half until she eventually hung up.
We need to talk about that. The consensus among everyone is that Geraldo has always been trash, which we all know.
Always will be.
Always will be. But that guy, Lorena's media media representative, I believe, Barbara Walters showed up at the
mental institution
to try to get an interview, and he told her no because, oh God, what did he say? He accused her of being a member of some...
The Illuminati.
Yeah. Another thing, like the Tri-Something Society that people, the conspiracy theorists think is a Illuminati-type organization, and a feminist.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I guess that was an insult that you lobbed at someone at the time, but wow. And that was just, they didn't go back to the fact that that guy's clearly a nut job ever again, but there's some red flags there.
There was a lot. He's the one who did the deal to cut Jana Basudi in for like 30% of all the shares in Lorena's foundation.
Yeah.
Or her trust or whatever it was. It was quite something.
Yeah.
I have to say, so they take you chronologically through everything, basically, where John Wayne Bobbitt went to trial first for domestic abuse.
Yes.
Obviously acquitted, because obviously.
And they, like, limited the scope of the timeline that they could examine or something.
Yeah. Did you abuse anyone these 10 minutes on a Tuesday night? And then Lorena Bobbitt went to trial for, what was it?
Malicious wounding.
Malicious wounding, that's right. And she, too, was acquitted, which was also a real fucking shock to me. Like, it is kind of amazing that with all the, like I said, the hordes descending on Manassas, Virginia to frantically search for this nobody's penis in a field because it's the most important thing anybody has to do ever mm-hmm. at that point. It's kind of surprising that she was acquitted. And I think yeah. part of it is that he was just such a piece of shit that he could not hide it. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't even dumb enough to make himself look like a victim. I was also fascinated by the fact that it turns out his trial attorney put this witness who could attest to Lorena's abuse in touch mm-hmm. with her defense team.
No, that... Okay,
it was,
but that was it. Wasn't like his personal attorney. It was the DA of the county. So that guy, what was his name? Was Ebert?
Paul Ebert.
So he was prosecuting both of them, right? Because it was the state versus mm-hmm. each of them
yeah,
in
yeah.
separate trials. So that guy, when he was prosecuting Lorena, this woman came forward late in the trial because she had just seen it on TV and had. Remembered this nail technician mm-hmm. who gave her a manicure and had bruises going all up yeah. her arms and who had like broken down during there because she asked her about the bruises.
Yeah.
And she broke down and talked about her husband abusing her. And so this woman called the DA,
yeah.
who at this point is prosecuting Lorena.
Yeah.
Lorena. And he didn't have any like motivation to put her in touch with Lorena's defense, but because he is a cool guy and did the right thing,
yeah.
he forwarded her information yeah. to the Lorena's team.
He gave them like a back line, like yeah. he was like,
and
she
so
was
that changed the course
through.
Of the trial. And
yeah.
that guy, the one of the experts, because of that information,
changed his
testimony,
medical, yeah.
and that changed the whole course of her trial. And that's why she got
yeah. And they said to one of the policemen too. They said it seemed like he didn't really want to prosecute her, and
yeah.
they were like, yeah, that's pretty much the deal. It was all.
Yeah, and they interviewed that guy in the course of the documentary, and he just, like, sort of...
had a winking yeah. response, like, you take your shots, you see how it goes.
Yeah.
But that cool lady, dude. That lady that was the witness mm-hmm. At the nail salon, they introduced her, and she got up and said, like, I had a very bad yeah. manicure, and my eyebrows were uneven, and I was like, this bitch! And then it turns out that she was this, like, hugely empathetic lady yeah. who, like, wasn't, I want to speak to your manager, Janice Basuti.
I know, I was
but,
like, she's not on trial for being a bad manicurist. Yeah.
But I went on quite a journey with that lady. I was like, what? Who would put this lady on the stage?
And she very much looked like the, I want to speak to your manager.
Yeah. Yes, very much. It was, yeah.
Orinda scarf. Let's go to a song, and when we come back, we will, make more light of this disgusting situation.
Yeah, if any of you guys have any thoughts about Lorena Bobbitt or John Wayne Bobbitt or anything, we'd love to hear from you at BFFTV on the radio on your Twitter.
Yes, please. And we'll be right back.
Baby, you make me cry. All the time. You'd be the happiest man alive if you could drive me stone out of my mind. You ought to love me, but still you won't let me be. Why don't you let me be? You must think that I look bad. Well,
All right. Welcome back to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM. We are talking Lorena, the four-part Amazon documentary. Leah, any predictions for season two?
No.
Answered all of my questions, actually. What was with the red vest neighbor who had to be interviewed in a parked car?
His wife obviously would not let them in the house. Like, that was really, really weird. And he was, like, kind of sitting forward the whole day. It was very strange. Yeah, it was it was really strange. And the other neighbor who was, like, yeah, eventually. And these two guys were teens at the time, and they testified that John Wayne would tell them about the atrocities he committed against Lorena all the time. And that, like, in a bragging way.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah.
Cool dude.
But yeah, so these teens were like, they were now obviously grown ups. And the one guy who was talking about, like, yeah, if you keep doing this to people, like, eventually the noodles are going to slip off the plate. And I was like, that's totally what happened to you, dude. Like, a few noodles definitely have left your plate.
Wait,
like,
I missed that. That's a...
Yeah.
Wait, what does that mean?
That they're going to lose it a little bit, I guess. Yeah, like, the noodles are going to slip off the plate. And I was like, some have definitely left your plate, dude. Like, he seemed like he had some struggles. But yeah, the guy in the car was really, really very weird. And the two old neighbors.
Yes, the couple with the beagle.
The bickering couple with the beagle who did they that, like, sweet. Annoying talking over each other thing.
Yeah.
And he had his oxygen mask and was always contradicting her, and she was always contradicting him. And the beagle was just like, hey, guys.
Yeah.
Hey. I'm just looking my paws over here.
Old beagle sitting next to her also, like, would bury his face on her on her lap sometimes. And I was like, that's the only one who's not a fame horrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
He didn't go on Jenny Jones, I bet.
It was shocking the amount of people, like, John Wayne Bobbitt's menacing brothers did the circuit, like, and they talked about how, like, we went looking for her, we were gonna kill her because that's the worst thing you could do to any man. And I'm like, no, that is a service to humanity, actually, like, cutting off this guy's penis. But yeah, they were absolutely menacing. It turned out Lorena's family was kind of trash too. Like, her family came to stay with her,
right?
And then, I don't know, like, kept asking her for money or something. And I don't know, it all ended badly.
Don't get famous, you guys.
Especially, yeah. You pointed out in your profile or in your outline, which I liked, is that at one point she's just like, so yeah, I cut off his penis. Like, leave me alone.
That was kind of the closing line.
Yeah.
When she was talking about the letters he kept sending her, like, I cut off his penis. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was the grandmother of Cardi B's, like, I will dog walk you. Leave me alone.
But also, it's the ultimate, like, hard no, John Wayne Bobbitt. Like, she cut off your penis, dude. She's not interested. It's just, like, this is.
Men cannot take a hint.
No.
You know?
No.
Like, you stop answering their phone calls. They don't get it. They keep calling. You cut off their dick. They keep calling you.
Yep.
It's just, fuck.
Yep.
Get a fucking clue.
Yep. Also, I don't know why I care about this, but John Wayne Bobbitt skipped bail on the owners of the Bunny Moonlight Ranch or whatever, where he was too stupid to even, like, pour a drink behind the bar.
Yeah, he got a job at the
Bunny Ranch?
The Bunny Ranch outside of Vegas, where they just kind of hired him as, you know, lobby decoration, essentially. But he was
supposed to
be
the greeter.
Bartender. He couldn't do that. Like, too easily distracted. He was then, like, supposed to drive the limo, and he fucked that up somehow. And it's just like, wow, he's incapable of literally anything. And then this is so dark. He ran off with one of the girls. And the two owners kind of talked about it as though it was property theft, which I thought, that's cool. And then ended up, like, violently raping this woman.
Holding her
captive.
Yeah, for 3 days.
This is, you know, long after he's been,
acquitted of domestic violence.
Losing my words. And yeah, he commits this insane act of violence. She had to play dead and then, like, escape through a window to get away from him. He would, like, he, yeah, She played dead. He thought he had killed her and, like, began gathering sheets. Like, he was going to bury the body, which, yeah, cool dude.
Yeah, real cool.
So I sent you a New York Times opinion piece from yesterday, I think. And I don't know. This whole thing has got me thinking, like, what do we do with men mm-hmm. who are this awful and abusive? Like, how much mental energy do we expend on... You know, like, I feel like this sort of the thing of Me Too is just, like, casting people like this out of society, which I'm not against that.
Mm-hmm.
But I worry that, like, that is just what is, you know, contributing to, like, extremism, mm-hmm. you know? Like,
yeah.
Men who are like John Wayne Bobbitt, who are just, you know, banned from society, are the types who are become, like, joining the incel movement mm-hmm. and, like, become domestic terrorists mm-hmm. and I don't
mass shooters and everything
yeah
else. Yeah.
And so I don't I'm of two minds about how to deal with people like this. Like, is there any room for, like, do we try to get them to be insightful about the way they are, or just, like, hopefully we can breed them out of society so a future generation will.
Yeah, I mean, I think getting people to be insightful about the way they are is that ship has clearly sailed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see that over and over again. Louis C.K., like, returning to stand-up and doing, like, surprise sets. And
I'm not saying they're separate, but I'm also I'm thinking less about people who have abused their power, like mm-hmm. Louis C.K. and Harvey Weinstein. Those people can fuck right off.
Yeah.
Like, but just like this article, this opinion piece was about a woman. It was written by a woman who worked in a battered women's shelter and also sat in on classes for mm-hmm. men who were abusers. I think all of whom had been assigned to go to these classes as part of by a court.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about how, you know, some of them, so it worked to some degree for some of them and others not. But, like, some people were finally getting to a place where they could interrogate why they hit women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of them had suffered abuse as children. Yeah. I guess that's another thing this made me think about is just, you know, the legacy of abuse. John Wayne Bobbitt, I don't know how much of it was true, but if, like, a quarter of what he described about his childhood was true, he had an awful childhood.
Yeah.
And, like, R. Kelly, like Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. like, these people go on to abuse other people, and I don't think John Wayne Bobbitt deserves any redemption now. He's clearly proven that mm-hmm. he's a monster. But is there some point at which you can intervene in someone's life and right that ship? Or do these people just need to be booted?
Yeah, I mean, there is a point where you can intervene in somebody's life and right the ship. And there's also, I don't know, I feel like it should be a Willy Wonka machine where we just, like, have an egg pop up to read, like, nope, bad, we're done, let's not invest any more time. You're 11 now, you should know better. I don't have a good answer for that. I mean, I think the ultimate thing is, obviously, it's addressing toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. It is breeding it out of the culture. It's raising boys to not have different standards than, it's raising kids as kids and not as, like, boys or as girls. Right. And I had the misfortune of seeing a clip of CPAC where Donald Trump Jr. fucking talked about how we are raising her as a girl. We didn't give her a choice.
Oh my God.
But anyway, I think it's about, it's a bigger societal shift. And I think that what's necessary is the casting out. I think that we're in the initial stage where it has to be, like, there are hard consequences for this shit. Like, it has to hurt to, you know. Yeah, so I'm all for the Willy Wonka machine.
Yeah.
Just, I do think it's straight up casting them out. Because there's also, you hear the argument time and time again, which is very, very valid. Women go through the same shit and they don't grow up to be abusers.
Yeah.
And men who go through the same shit and don't grow up to be abusers. At some point, you have to move past your trauma and you have to fucking like take responsibility, which is the thing that John Wayne Bobbitt is clearly incapable of doing.
Yeah.
And has had Howard Stern, has had Steve Harvey, has had Newt Gingrich, like all these fucking stupid men tell him that he doesn't have to, that what happened to him was terrible and he doesn't need to examine anything yeah. else. And I thought it was kind of interesting that they showed all these clips. They showed Lorena on the Steve Harvey show where he's like trying to make it into a bit, you know, like, yeah. oh, he's like doing this, like he's frantically searching through the field and he's like, but why would you take it? And, you know, trying to make it into a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically said, like, I did that knowing that that's how it was going to be. But if I can get the message of domestic violence through to one person, I don't care that I'm like a joke. And John Wayne Bobbitt does not possess that same thing. No. But it was interesting to see her on all these shows and like everybody just making it this light, glib thing and her constantly trying to get back to the message of domestic abuse. Like,
yeah,
it has consequences. Like,
polar opposites yeah. when it comes to poise.
but they didn't show like she was invited on like the Oprah show. They didn't show her any of her interview with Oprah, which I'm sure had a different tenor. Like Oprah herself being a victim of abuse probably took it from a domestic abuse angle and not just a jokey, we're out here with flashlights looking for a guy's dick in a field next to the 7-Eleven. Like, and yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't know. I think that we're in such an early iteration of it that, yeah, there have to be real consequences. Yeah. And I don't know who gets to state those consequences, but when I am Grand Empress, things are going to change, guys. That's all I'm saying.
To the gulag. What? Help me understand Howard Stern.
Howard Stern is trash. End of story.
Lots of people that I like listen to Howard Stern, and I haven't listened to Howard Stern in such a long time, but like he had John Wayne Bobbitt on time and time again, and at one, and I don't understand if Howard Stern is sort of like doing a bit about like, is he sending up,
is he secretly
toxic
woke
masculinity? Like, I couldn't tell if he was like having John Wayne Bobbitt on to just be sort of winking, and it's like, you know, look at us, America, we're trash. But then he made this, he said at one point, like, I don't buy the rape thing. Like, she's not even that good looking. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah. She has acne.
Yeah. Like, I know. Is he doing a bit when he says shit like that?
No.
Like, why are we still indulging Howard Stern?
I have no idea. Okay. Why? Oh, yeah.
If anyone out there gets Howard Stern and if he's actually like this meta commentary on bro culture or toxic masculinity, please let us know, because I don't really want to listen to him and actually find out for myself.
Yeah, I don't either. And yeah, I just think he's trash.
Is 1994 the true nadir of fashion?
Oh, it was bad.
It was.
Yeah, it was real bad.
Not good.
It was basically like the set of the Golden Girls, like in clothes. It's just like all that Lanai. That's like it's like too, Lanai too fashion. Nice. Like,
I'm into Lanai fashion.
No, I mean, I'm into caftans. No, that's not what I mean. I mean, like, the print of, like, the couch is, like, let's make that a jacket. Like, it was colors, it was not. And also, drab. Like, boxy and not cute. Yeah. Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
So, could you think of anything else, like any other moments from the 90s that need a re-examination?
Yeah, this is not technically... Oh, I think my first one is the 90s. I have a few, actually, that I'd like to...
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the 90s.
So, yeah, we're having this, like you said, we're going through this cultural moment where we're kind of relitigating, like, Marcia Clark finally got her due.
Yeah,
like,
there was I, Tonya.
More than a haircut. Yeah, I, Tonya. The Monica Lewinsky slow burn, where we're all kind of re-examining, like, why were we holding a 24-year-old intern to a higher standard than the president of the United States?
There was an Anita Hill movie.
Was there? Oh, yeah, with what's her name? Kerry Washington.
Yes.
Yeah. But yes, so I think the most important one that has not yet been relitigated, and I would definitely like to learn more about it, is the Lisa Left Eye Lopez story. Oh. I need to know why she burned that motherfucker's house down. Yeah. And now I think it's 100% his fault. And it was just, I don't know anything about the circumstances regarding why she burned his house down, but yeah, she was justified, is what I'm saying.
She seemed cool as fuck. I would love to see a Lisa Left Eye Lopez documentary.
I also think that I'm also kind of shocked that Lifetime hasn't done that. If anybody here has seen the Lisa Left Eye Lopez biopic that we have missed, please let me know, because I would be very interested in seeing it. And also, I think the Winona Ryder sex
theft
incident needs some reexamining.
Which would be great, because Winona Ryder could play herself in a dramatization of that era, since has not changed.
Surprisingly, that was 2001.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. Which I was surprised by. And then the other one that I would like to see, I had another one that I came up with. Hang on. Let me refer to my notes.
I was thinking and like, I don't know. We've really mined the 90s. I was like, 90210.
But that's what I was going to say. Let's do the Shannon Doherty rehab story.
Yeah. Saved by the Bell. We had the Saved by the Bell movie. I was kind of coming up short. I was thinking, like, we should go back to everyone who said Forrest Gump was a good movie and make them answer for their crimes. But Green Book just won the best picture, so
that's not going to happen.
There's going to be no justice there.
Waiting for the Tom Hanks Me Too revelation.
Ooh. You really have it.
Bated breath. He's going to be the next one to fall, guys. I've known it all these years. These many years I've known.
Known it in your heart.
Known it in my heart.
He harassed you in a dream once.
He did. That's Tom Hanks right there in my dream. Why don't you like me? Get the fuck out of my subconscious, Tom Hanks, okay? I just don't. I don't need to answer to you or anyone else.
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry, did you have another one?
It was Shannon Doherty one. But I will say that one of the things that I have enjoyed about Me Too, the Me Too movement, is the fact that, I don't know, just the fact that all these trash men are being called out and there are no real repercussions for it, but it's at least refreshing to see them be called out. And I had some other point that I was going to make before that, and now I totally lost it.
Yeah. Why was C. Everett Koop always in military regalia?
Hey, don't know.
Is the Surgeon General like a literal general?
Yeah. I don't know. He's just, he was a little much.
Just his look.
Yeah. He was a little much.
Yeah.
What else about the Lorette? So Jordan Peele produced it, but I think he literally just like put his name on it. I don't think he did that much with it. But yeah, cool. I'm glad that all these women are getting their moment to get the story told from a different angle, because, why was the story like, this man got his penis cut off, and not like, what would prompt you to do that? And I will say that it has now really, really, this was what I was going to say about the Me Too movement. It has now absolutely reversed any time that I've ever heard somebody say, like, Katherine Heigl's difficult. Like, any of this. I'm like, Katherine Heigl seems like a dope-ass chick who's not taking any shit. Like, that's maybe she's difficult, too. But, like, nobody was talking about Louis C.K. being difficult. Nobody was, like, it's just, the double standard. Like, I want to, write a script where it's just Katherine Heigl, Shannon Doherty, like, anyone who's ever been told that they were, like, difficult and, I don't know, I'll work through any fucking diva demands they have, because men have been having that shit happen to them for millennia.
Yeah, I'm into it. Are there any things like going on right now that you feel like in these cycles move quicker now? So it's not going to take 20 years to relook at anything that's happening now. It'll be like in 2 years, they'll be like, what we did to Amanda Bynes was very wrong.
Amanda Bynes also gets to star in my movie.
Yeah. do we know what she's up to now?
She went back to school. She's doing great.
Oh, good for you, Amanda Bynes.
Back in school, super solid, apparently. I don't know. anything going on right now that we're going to look back on in like mm-hmm. 2 years and be like, I can't believe we dealt with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Finding Neverland, that terrible Neverland. Johnny Depp.
I insisted it was called Finding Neverland earlier this morning.
Yeah, it's Leaving Neverland. Is airing tonight on HBO, the first of, I think,
two parts.
I think it's four. Okay. I don't know. I just recently read the Wesley Morris New York Times article about it, mm-hmm. and he kind of talks about how I don't think this country is ready for, like, a reckoning as big as Michael Jackson. Like, what do we do with that? Like,
it's funny just, to me, not funny, but... Like, I read something, I think it was in Slate this morning, about, you know, talking about Leaving Neverland mm-hmm. and comparing it to other cultural reckonings we've had. But, like, haven't we already been sort of reckoning with this? Like, mm-hmm. I understand that we've been trying to discredit stories that, yeah. like, truly malign Michael Jackson and tell ourselves that he was just a weirdo and mm-hmm. kind of a Peter Pan. But, like, it's always been there in our consciousness, yeah. you know? Like, it's not like... I mean, I guess that's true of R. Kelly, too.
But, yeah. Yeah, I think that's the thing now, is that it's this big thing where people are, like, the reckoning isn't, like, what do we do with it? The reckoning mm-hmm. is, like, obviously Michael Jackson's done. Like, he's dead, so he's
yeah,
done.
I mean, that's but the like, other thing is, like, he's also dead.
It's well, there's like no redemption, yeah. But yeah. it's also, like... It's not truly like a reckoning, like, oh my God, like, how do I deal with this? It's yeah. just like, do you make the right decision to never again listen to Michael Jackson? Like, you know, it's, I don't know. I don't know, yeah. guys. I don't know.
I mean, it feels like less of a question for me. It feels like it should be easier to deal with for someone who's dead. I mean, I understand, like, it's hard to extract Michael Jackson from our culture because he's ubiquitous mm-hmm. but like we don't have to decide whether we're giving money to a monster mm-hmm. anymore. He's gone. I don't
yeah but he's still I mean yeah yeah I don't know
I mean it sounds like the beneficiaries of his estate didn't have little boys in their bed, you know.
Yeah.
Those people didn't mm-hmm. do anything wrong. I mean, maybe some of them enabled him. I'm sure lots of them did, but yeah, I don't know. Anyway, on that note,
tune in to HBO tonight for yeah. Leaving Neverland, another story about a terrible, terrible yeah. man that we all look the other way about.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about it next week, but I don't know. Maybe it'll be too much like staring into Carcosa and yeah. just be catatonic by next week.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting to feel that way. Well, thanks you guys for listening. Close with another lady soul singer complaining about men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tune in next week. We'll talk about something else horrific, probably.
John Wayne Bobbitt, trash.
Any redemption for John Wayne Bobbitt?
Nope.
No. All right. Thanks, you guys, for listening. Stay tuned for Indie Rock Girl Radio here on BFF.FM.
So much. I'm never thrilled to your touch. And I would not be lonely and crying and hurting here inside. Satisfied. I wish I'd never loved you. I wish I'd never given.